We'll do that here after this hour here. All right. I want to talk to you about something here. I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And, you know, I get a lot of feedback from people, some negative, some positive. I don't really pay attention to it unless it's something that I can really teach somebody. If I can teach you something, you know, from the scriptures on it, and I wonder if some people have questions about some things, then what I wonder in my mind is, well, maybe others have questions about it. So maybe it's a good thing to teach on. So then if some people have questions on it, you know, then maybe you do. And maybe this will help you. And you can kind of give people an understanding of why we do certain things here. The title of this message, and really what I'm going to cover today, is Why I Reprove the Works of Darkness. Why I Reprove the Works of Darkness. Because a lot of people don't get it. They don't understand why I do some of the things I do and preach on some of the things I preach on. I'm going to give you an example of this, actually, which I think is kind of ironic in itself. But I wasn't planning on even preaching this message, but it was put together yesterday afternoon. Actually, Friday night, the Lord had given it to me and showed me, well, hey, you're going to preach on this now. So I was kind of putting it together over the next day because I deal with things when they come up. I deal with them. Okay. I like to teach on things like that. I think it's important to do. I don't like to sweep things under the, I just like to deal with them, just straight out deal with them and put it all on the table and deal with it. And one of the questions that are one of the criticisms that I've heard from people, which is fine. I don't mind criticism either. I listen to it and usually I just ignore most of it anyway, because you get so many opinions, but not a lot of scripture. Do you understand what I just said there? You get a lot of opinions, but you don't get a lot of scripture. You get a lot of people that'll get mad at something you preach, but you don't get a lot of scripture telling you where you're wrong. See what I mean? That's right. Amen. So, when we look at Ephesians chapter 5 here, some things are going on here. And just to preface this, we're going to read the first 16 verses here. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, now notice he's starting. Listen, he's contrasting love of Christ to works of the flesh. You seeing the difference? Immediate contact, a contrast right there. It's talking about love for Christ, walk in love as Christ also loved us. Do you know that you're not loving your brethren when you get into sin? You know that? You're only caring about yourself when you get into sin. When you go deep into sin, you are caring about yourself alone. Well, not even really, in essence. You're not really caring about yourself either. But you're caring about pleasing your carnal nature, your sin nature. That's the only thing that you want to please. You don't care about anybody else. And that's what God is telling us here in the scriptures. And walk in love as Christ also loved us. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Remember, the book of Ephesians, do you realize what the book of Ephesians is about? It's about the body. That's what the whole book's about. It's about the body of Christ, the local church. That's what the book is about. The entire book is about that. You see, all the way through, because at the end, it talks about the war all the way through, and at the end, it talks about the war in Ephesians 6 and to armor up. But it's talking about the body all the way through. Now, it does you no good if you don't put your spiritual armor on. The church, the spiritual armor is there for the church in Ephesians 6. That's for the body. But it's also for you personally. Because what good is it if people don't arm themselves scripturally with the spiritual armor of God? Okay. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, who hath any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and of God, let no man deceive you with vain words. Well, what's he saying? Well, he's saying that a man is deceiving you with vain words when he lives in all this wickedness and tries to tell you that he is God's child. Because either he will be chastised for it and he will come back and repent, or he will be proven to be the fraud that he is. How many people speak today with vain words? And they deceive many. Oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. But nothing, no evidence of it. No desire to be with the body of Christ, no desire to assemble with the saints, no desire for any of those things. Why is that? Well, because it proves who they really are. People don't like that kind of preaching today, by the way. That's not fun preaching. To be challenged on who you really are, it's not very much fun. I don't know, it's just as simple as this. Well, if you're saved, then live like it. Why is that so hard? Why is that so... But you can't tell people that they're not saved. I haven't told anybody they're not saved unless they give every indication in Scripture that they're not. And there's a lot of people that do that. It's just kind of throwing it back out there and letting them examine themselves and say, okay, oops. For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's pretty stern language, isn't it? Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Who are the children of disobedience? The lost. He's making the contrast between the lost and the saved here. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. Now look, he says, this is what you were. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, and righteousness and truth. That's the fruit of the Spirit. What's that mean? Well, it means that when you desire truth when you're saved, and you want truth. You don't hate the truth, you want it. It may convict you, it may bother you, but you still want the truth. You want it. You desire it. Why? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now watch this. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Two commands there. We're going to get to those two today. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things, notice that he said it's a shame to speak of those things which are done in secret. But this has been sorely missed and misunderstood. So I'm going to explain to you what that means. Because the next thing he says is, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So he's talking about those things that are a shame are made manifest by the light. What's the light? Right here. Amen? Hey, this is the light. And this makes manifest all the darkness. And we're going to talk about that here. So you understand this. For it is a shame even to speak of those things. He says, but all things that are reproved. A friend of mine, Brother Randy, he calls it paradoxes. He says, because the Bible gives those and shows you the contrast that these two things are true. Yes, it is a shame, but what does he mean by that? And yes, it is reproved by the light. You're supposed to still reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. You see the difference? You see the paradox that is there? Both are true statements, but they seemingly contradict one another, but they really don't. The contradiction is in the balance that people don't have between the two. Amen? That's where the contradiction lies. It's in you, not in the Scriptures. God's not confused about anything he's saying here. He's very clear about what he's teaching, what he's trying to give to us here in his word. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless us now. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now it's interesting. I had an older couple contact me, not from our church, but that listened to our sermons and things like that. And well, they wanted to start a fight with me, actually. Imagine that. But so they sent me an email, and the quickest way to start a fight with me would be to try to tell me what I'm going to preach. That'd be the quickest way to start a fight with me. If you want to start a fight with me, then try to tell me what I'm supposed to preach. Because then you will get the fight of your life. Amen. I will not have anybody but God Almighty to tell me what I'm to preach. The day that I tip my hat to somebody else is the day that I walk out and never come back. Got it? I'm not doing it. Now, we can discuss doctrine, we can talk about it, but the day you say, well, you should preach this, and you should preach that, and you should, is the day that I say, well, I'm sorry, but you're not God, okay? And I don't see anywhere in the Scriptures where somebody else tells a pastor, and what is it with the day and age that we live in? Is this not the most, I've had some pastors in the past that I have not agreed with. completely. And I don't agree with them now on many things. But do you know what I never did? I never walked up to them and told them what to preach. I didn't do that. The thought never crossed my mind that I would go tell that preacher what he's to preach. It shocks me. Hey, you know what? I've got men that I'm an overseer over here, but you know what? I don't tell you what to preach either, do I? I don't tell you what to preach. That's right, amen. I don't do that. I don't tell Brother Paul, you can't preach that, or you shouldn't preach. I don't know. You preach what the Lord lays on your heart to preach. If there's a doctrinal problem, we'll talk about it later, in private, by the way. If it's not too serious, if it's something like extremely serious, we'll deal with it as men. We'll come together and we'll teach in love, and we'll teach one another, and we'll sit down and talk about it and reason together. So the Bible says to do. But this whole concept, and by the way, these people are outside of a local church for different circumstances. My point of bringing this up is that, you know, first of all, this lady wanted me to set myself against another pastor so we could get in this big war, and that wasn't going to happen because I don't have time for any of that. But you say, why does this matter to me? Well, it does matter to you because there are a lot of people that do not believe that you are to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness, that you're not to reprove and bring to the light these things that are dark that are going on around us. For instance, I'll get to it. But let's just go over the text first. But I want to lay the groundwork for you to understand. Are we to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness? Well, the first thing that we're supposed to do, the Bible says, is this. He says, have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't say, do you notice how it's not talking about people, but it's talking about sins? It's talking about the unfruitful works of darkness. Those works that are done in the dark. Why the dark? Because darkness brings boldness. Do you understand that? See, what do you mean by that? How many things are done in the dark? But when you drag things into the light, what does it bring? We're going to get to that. I'm going to expound on that. It brings shame. It brings shame. That's what he's talking about, and I'll get to that in a second. I'm giving you a little hint there. But it brings shame when you drag those things from the dark into the light. They lose their boldness. They lose their boldness. We'll show you that in a little while here. Anyway, he says first, he's dealing with sins. There's this thought that somehow you're going to be corrupted by understanding the unfruitful works of darkness, that's going to somehow corrupt you. No, I would say that I have seen more fruit from explaining the unfruitful works of darkness, from reproving them through Hollywood and all those other things, reproving and showing the satanic roots. I have seen more fruit from doing that than if I were just to be like other preachers and just leave it alone. Oh, just leave it alone. You know how many preachers I had tell me you don't need to talk about this. This same lady and her husband. Yeah, I know it's weird, but it's like 80-year-old people have time to do this. 75-year-old people have time to do this. It's really strange. But anyway, this same couple, they basically said, well, you know, you didn't need to preach 14 sermons on Hollywood. I said, oh, okay. I'm glad you know what I'm supposed to preach. But you know what I said? I got a great idea for you. This is me being very nice. I said, I got a great idea for you. Why don't your husband go start a church and you can tell him what to preach? That'd be great. Why don't you do that? That's not very kind. No, it's the kindest thing somebody could say because, see, you throw it back at them and put it in perspective. But we want to just be so nice and not offend anybody. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. Really? Do you realize that somebody is trying to stop the mouth of the preacher? Do you get that? And do you get why they want to do that? Because it's darkness. And darkness loves a veil. It loves to be hidden. And Satan loves to stay hidden. He loves to be veiled in things like Hollywood. He loves to be veiled in things like rock music. He loves to be veiled in things like contemporary Christian music. He loves to be veiled in words like pro-choice. He loves it. And when you look at them and point a finger and say, no, it's murder. Oh, the veil's been rent. No, you can't hide behind pro-choice. It's murder. You see, there has to be some men that'll say the hard things and doesn't whimper and cry when some lady looks at him and gets mad at him. There has to be. If her husband won't be that man, there has to be some other man that's willing to do it. We can't be like Elijah and run from Jezebel. Right? That's right. He says here, these works of darkness are listed. Go back up to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 3. And these things are listed, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. What does he mean by that? He's saying the man that says that he's living in all these things and he's doing all these things, but he gives you these vain words like, well, I'm saved. Well, then where's your repentance? Where's your repentance? Be not therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. People are very misinformed on what the scriptures say today. They're very misinformed on what's to be revealed and what's not to be. In this case right here, what he's talking about is fellowship. He's saying all these things you must have nothing to do with. The first command is to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's the first command of God. That's what he expects from a saved child of God. By the way, again, Ephesians is written to the body. That's who it's written to. That's what it's about, is the body of Christ. Because at the end, the body is armored up. In Ephesians 6, the body is armored up and ready to go. Ready to fight. Ready to war. Did you know that that sword of the Spirit, in a spiritual sense, is to draw blood? Do you understand that? That's what it's for. It's an offensive weapon, this book. And spiritually, it'll draw blood. It just will. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Why? Because it cuts in. It cuts in. Don't think so? Well, let me ask you a question. How come an 8-year-old boy can read scripture up on a little platform out there in the street and people get mad about it? If he was getting up there and quoted Dr. Seuss, you think anybody'd be mad at him? If he got up there and read Green Eggs and Ham, would anybody be upset with him? Come on, let's be real, folks. Think about it. Would they be upset if he was up there quoting poetry? Or if he read Sally Has Two Moms, would they be upset with that? Of course not. They'd applaud him and clap. If he wanted to be a transvestite, they'd applaud him. And by the way, that's going on, so don't think I'm out of line for saying anything like that, because it's going on right now in schools. Everywhere. Listen, folks, this sin is in your face, okay? And if we don't war against it, we are going to be overcome. Your children will be. You've got a war against evil. We're going to get to that in a second. But man, I'm telling you, this passive Christianity, you better just, wow. I'm telling you, this passive Christianity, look what it's done in the last 50 years. All the churches have conceded the world. They've come in and they've done all their evangelism in a building somewhere. And nobody wants to go out there and rebuke in the gate. Nobody wants to go out there and face the evil that's out there. So it's rampant everywhere. But when you preach the law of God, guess what happens? When you preach the word of God, the light shines. And darkness hates light. Amen. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. I only wish that most people would understand, Christians would understand that this is like a big theater. Not this room, but this world. And up above it, you have a great cloud of witnesses that is looking down. And you also have rulers of the darkness of this world. You have principalities, you have powers, and they're watching. And they're waging war. And they're laughing. And they laugh at God's church and they blaspheme it. Why? Because it's turned into a joke. We want to speak on generalities. Oh, don't touch anything. Don't reveal anything. Don't deal with anything. Just give me a feel-good message and let me feel good about myself. There's nothing about you to feel good about. There's nothing in your flesh to feel good about. At least that's what the Apostle Paul preached. That is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And let me say, I can testify to that very clearly, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And that's why you and I are commanded to walk in the Spirit. We're commanded to have no fellowship with these unfruitful works of darkness. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This verse is dealing with sin. It's not dealing expressly with people. You and I are going to have to deal with people. Hey, we are in the world. We're in it. You're going to deal with people every day. They're not saved. They're lost people. They're wicked people. You're going to have to work with them. You're going to have to work alongside with them. You're going to have to deal with them. You're going to have to do business with them. You're going to have to suffer some things with them. Amen? So he's not telling you, well, you just separate from everybody and go become the Amish. And just go sit in your own little community somewhere. Grow your beard real long and hire somebody else to drive you around. Like, that's not hypocrisy. Anyway. But that's what they do. You can do that. Or you can understand what the scripture is saying. It's saying you personally are not to be entertained by those unfruitful works of darkness, are not to entertain them, are not to go about that same living. You are to have no fellowship with them. You are to have no fellowship with them at all. Amen. Now, there's a second command given here. We're commanded to reprove the works of darkness. The unfruitful works of darkness. He says to reprove them. Many people would like to just stop at the first one. Why? Well, because there's not as much of a battle there for you just to step away. I mean, there's a battle in the flesh and there's a battle with the war between the flesh and the spirit. But the problem lies when you start going to war against the devil, he fights back. Amen. When you and I follow Scripture, we are commanded to obey this second command here, and that's to have no fellowship, but rather to reprove them. To reprove them. We are to reprove them. What is that? Well, Satan loves a veil. He loves it. He loves to be hidden. Do you know how Satan is hidden in music today? Do you realize how people have no idea that most of the music they listen to is nothing more than Satanistic rituals? They're nothing more than voodoo. It's nothing more than conjuring up evil spirits. That is all they do. And the Bible is very clear. My people are destroyed all the day long for lack of knowledge. You want to know why a lot of people don't put away some of the things in their life that they should put away? Because the preacher don't warn them. He don't talk about it. We don't want to talk too much about it. But see, Satan loves a mystery. How about this? The mystery of iniquity. But God explains the mystery of godliness. But Satan likes to be shrouded in a mystery. How about mystery? Babylon, the great, the mother of all harlots. One of the greatest veiled mysteries out there is the Roman Catholic Church. It's one of the greatest because it has the outward appearance of a Christian religion, and it is the dirtiest of them all. And when you start uncovering those things and talking about those things, oh, we don't need to talk about that too much. Oh, yes, we do, and then some. Because when 1 billion people are lost, I think it's kind of important to deal with. How about the mystery of the woman that rides the beast? How about the esoteric religions that want to hide the Antichrist? Folks, I'm telling you, I just read a book last night from 1914 and just like a history of cults and a few other things. And I'm reading this book and it's like the same message is given in each cult, in each nationality, in each group, whether they were Indians, whether they were over in Germany, wherever they were, it's the same thing. There's this man that's going to come. There's this sun god. There's this man that's like the sun, and he's going to come. And it's in every single one of them. There's a man that's going to come. There's a man that's going to come. There's a man that's going to come. But what do they like to do? Hide it. Oh, no. Freemasonry is not about the Antichrist. Alchemy is not about the Antichrist. All of these... No, it's not about that. They're just some... No, they all have the same connection. They're all connected. There's the mystery of godliness or there's the mystery of iniquity. That's it. I don't care what other flavor they ride with. It's the same thing. Over and over again. How about this? King Nebuchadnezzar had secret dreams, but what did God use? God used Daniel to manifest those to him and to tell the truth of those things. He brought it to light. Preachers are to unveil that mystery, to take the shroud off of it, and to take the covering off of it, and to show it for what it really is. You want to know why so many kids today in fundamental Baptist churches are playing around with rock music, are fornicating and doing everything else? Because no preacher stood up and told them the truth about it. And that's why some of your families live in rot-gut wicked lives. And my family too, live in rot-gut wicked lives. The most wickedest life I've ever seen from my own family. Why? Because they went after the fun. Show your children where sin ends. Uncover the mystery and show them the truth of it. That's right. You got to have your own Acts 19 service in your home and throwing and burning stuff and getting rid of it all. That's what you got to do first. I've had people tell me before, oh, you shouldn't preach against Hollywood. You shouldn't preach a series on Satan. Yeah, that's exactly what the devil would like. Be just to shut up and don't talk about that. Oh, don't talk about Satan. Sure, no, don't go through the scriptures and talk about them as much as God did. You want to know what's really scary? Is I can sit down with the average fundamental Baptist and you know what? Listen to me. Give them their little 4-year degree. I don't care. Give them an 8-year degree. And I'll sit down with them and let's talk some Bible. And let's not talk in abstract living, okay? Let's talk real life out there. Let's do it. So you're against it. Yeah, I want you to. I'm vehemently against it. Because it's not scriptural. It's not. Find it in the Bible. Find it. You want to know why there's not more men that are 50 years old that are starting churches? You want to know why? You got to go do this. You got to go do that. You got to go do this. No, you got to have time in the book, time in a local body, be loved, be laid hands on, and be sent out for the work of the ministry. That's what you need, and that's what the Bible says. which are able to teach others also. That's what you need. And the power of the Holy Ghost of God. That's too simple, though. I can't make money on that. I can't build an empire on that. I can't get applause, right? Exactly. That's why your preachers today don't talk about any of these things. They weren't trained in Bible school. Well, I got trained by God. And I'm getting trained by God. And God wants us to talk about the hard things. The things that are plaguing this generation. And God raises up men in generations to deal with things. And there are many that will despise that calling. And they'll despise that spirit. Let them. I had a lady and her husband tell me I shouldn't preach on those things. Sheep don't need to hear about those things. Thought that was comical. Sheep don't need to know about Aleister Crowley and his wicked involvement in Hollywood and the music industry. Really? I would think you'd want to know if you were involved with necromancy. I would think you'd want to know if you were being entertained by devils. I think it's kind of important to know. I don't know. I would think you'd want to heed the warning of Ephesians chapter 5. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Well, how do you know if you're having fellowship with them? Somebody drags that wickedness into the light and shines it on there. And then Satan don't get the cover in there anymore. Don't you get it? That's the thing that happened to me. When I started studying everything about Hollywood, I looked at it as a wait a minute. Well, this is the entertainment of devils. And guess what? The light shined in. I was like, well, man, he can't hide in there anymore. I know what he's up to. That's exactly what he's up to. Why? Because you drag it into the light. That's why. Oh, you don't need to talk about Disney or any of those other things. Really? Do you know how many Christians go to Disney World? Disneyland? Do you know how many people go there? I would tell you that if Christians stopped supporting Disney, they would probably go under. Yeah, it is. It's called the Magic Kingdom. So I just don't see why Mickey's that bad. Listen, Mickey Mouse and all these other things are nothing more than angles used to bring people in and to pull them in. And they start with something so subtle and then they just dump it on. See, I don't need to know about any of those things. Yes, you do. Because whether you believe it or not, whether you believe it or not, there will be influences there. Well, it's going to hurt me if I know about those things because I don't know about them now. So if I see them, then it's going to hurt me. That's not what the Bible says. It says to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. It doesn't say to just have no fellowship. Well, I can live my life and have, you know how many people taught their kids to have no fellowship with them? They said, we don't go to movies. We don't do this. We don't do this. We don't listen to this. We don't do this. We don't do this. And now their kids are all doing it. Want to know why? Because they didn't reprove it. That's why. They didn't reprove it and they didn't teach him why it's bad. If you think you can, listen to me closely, this is a warning and you better listen to it and you better heed it closely. If you believe that you could just abstain from things and not war against it and not reveal it, the wickedness that it really is, your children will be harmed by it. Believe what you want to. But that's what this book is saying right here. That's what God's holy words are saying right here. You better war against it. And you better show them why. And you better reveal those things unto them and show them. You don't have to reveal wicked, rot, gut, nasty, dirty details of things. But you teach against those things and show them why. But you know what? You're too lazy to do it, that's why. You're too lazy to get in there and study. So you just put mindless entertainment in front of your children or mindless things in front of them and say, well, have at it. And you don't study. You know how many people don't realize the cartoons they let their children watch and all these, they're all occultic? They're all training them in the occult. I can show you top 10 cartoons that are out there that are completely occultic. And people are letting them watch it. They just let their kids, they just put it in front of their kids. Well, or there's the other group that says, well, we'll just abstain from all of it. That's wonderful. And you should do that. But your children better understand why. And it ain't enough if you think it's enough for you just to say, well, because it's bad. That's not enough, because your children are going to fall for it. Want proof? 50 years of fundamentalism. How do you like it? How do you like it? Want to see the fruit of it? Why? Because they don't war against it. Well, don't go to movies, don't do this, but bring videos in your house and do the same thing. What's the height of hypocrisy? We didn't go to movie theaters, but we just bring the same video in and watch it there. Oh, there. Well, that's better. Because then I brought that demonic thing into my home. That's wonderful. Is this too real for you? Is this too real for you? I'm telling you, I know this is what God wants me to do, so I'm going to do it.
I remember a pastor I had that preaching at Hollywood on the movie theater. Yeah, got Hollywood videos a lot of
them. Amen. What difference? There is no difference. You either abstain from it, you walk away from it, or you don't. But you don't try to veil it in your own home and cover it up. This is the hypocrisy that's there. By the way, darkness hates to be dragged into the light. Hates it. Hates it. By the way, I've had people think that, well, you'll cause people to get, they'll be an intrigue of evil. There is no intrigue of evil when you go out serpent stomping. You understand that?
Yeah.
There's no intrigue for evil. I would want to meet the man that would tell me after he's heard all the things that I have preached on these things to come to me and tell, well, now I'm interested in doing those things. Because I would be completely shocked unless that man is completely reprobate in the first place. Then I would see that. I'm afraid, I don't want to know those things because you need to know those things. See, here's the thing. When you think you're an island unto yourself and you're all that matters, then you don't care if you need to help somebody else out with something. But guess what? People have real problems. People are drug addicts. People are fornicators. People are stuck in the occult. They're stuck in witchcraft. That's real. It's not abstract. I don't read from some manual. These are words of life. Every day we see people out there that are trapped in these things. So what answer do you have for them? Well, I'm just not going to delve into any of those things or look into anything because, I mean, I don't want to dirty my mind up with it. Well, if you have the shield of faith and you're doing things according to biblical principle, you shouldn't be dirtying anything up. It should give you a holy revenge on it because that's what it does to me. That's what it does to, that's what it did to the, when there was a clearing for the Corinthians, that's what it did for them. They had a holy revenge against it. Half the people I know watch TV programs and movies, they had no idea they were being entertained by what they were being entertained by. Satan likes to be covered. To reprove them means to shine the light of the law of God on them. I know people that have been in churches for years and never heard a sermon on devil possession. Never heard one on it. Right. Well, that's done now. That don't happen anymore. Really? Well, I've met some people that are devil possessed, okay? And it happens. All around you. Oh, we can't talk about that. That'll glorify Satan. Really? So, to preach on what's in here and to explain what's in here glorifies the devil? Where do these people come from? The abyss? Unbelievable. These things are used to warn you. You know what gives boldness? Is to allow darkness to reign. Give us boldness. Hey, let me ask you a question. And I'm not looking for an answer, but I just want you to think about it. Since you heard all these messages on Hollywood and everything else, does it make you think twice about things? Does it leave in your conscience something that makes you think twice about what you'd put in front of your eyes? Does it make you think about it? Does it make you wonder, man, I wonder if I should do that? Because, you know, that's, I mean, I know the truth of that now.
Yeah.
And now that I know the truth of it, I'm going to be violating my conscience by doing this. How can I have any enjoyment? And that, my friend, is Bible preaching.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Because you'll never forget that you heard 14 sermons on the wickedness of Hollywood. And it'll bother you. Whether you obey God or not, it's still going to bother you. Whether you do right or not, you're going to be convicted by it. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. So many kids were told rock music was bad, don't go to movies, and all these other things, but never explained why. You just don't do that, because, I mean, there might be another bad movie there and all this other stuff, and just don't do it. Do you think those kids were actually listening? No, they weren't listening. They were doing it behind, they just got good at covering up and do it behind your back. Exactly, it'll yield intrigue, that's right. And they fornicated behind your back. Why? Because nobody preached against it, so they did it anyway. I don't want to talk about those things. Really? You know what really scares me is when I see pastors and others not talk about it's not good for a man to touch a woman and things like that and this girlfriend, boyfriend type stuff. When I hear pastors that allow that stuff or they think that stuff's good and they think that's okay, or you have men in your church that actually, I've on Facebook these guys, fathers posting pictures of their daughters going to prom. Or you could have Christian prom, which the fundamentalists did. Hey, they did the same thing. They had their little dates and they had their little Christian prom. Well, because we got to be the world light, you know, not heavy, not quite that dark, but just kind of like a twilight. Oh, just a twilight. Yeah, it is. Absolutely, it is. So a guy is bragging about his daughter going out with some guy. Getting in a car with some guy and taking off. So, more than one, by the way. So what do I think about that? I think it's rotten and wicked.
Amen.
I think it's disgusting.
Right.
And I don't think you should ever let your daughter go riding around with some man. And I don't think you should ever let anybody date your daughter like that.
Right.
She's not on a block. She ought not be for sale, Ahab. That's real. That's real, ain't it? Yeah, because I got three daughters. I'm going to tell you what. Some little punk tell me he wants to ride around with my daughter. He'll be thrown out. You do that? You better believe it. I'd do it for your daughter. I'd do it for your daughter. Don't think so? If I see your daughter riding around with some guy, I'd pick him up and throw him.
Amen.
You would? You better believe I would. And I'd call you right away and say, you better get your daughter right now. And I'd probably want to be thumping you in the head too. But I wouldn't. But I'd want to. I know. It's only your daughter's purity, that's all. God help us. No, of course not. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give you something the Lord gave me. Gray areas are the devil's playground. That's what gray areas are. They're the devil's playground. When you hear some preacher talk about gray areas, and some people talk about gray areas are the devil's playground. He likes to play in those. Why? Well, because it's a mystery. He's hidden there. What's a gray area? No, it's black or white. It's right or wrong. It's true or false. Let's just live our lives like that, then things become a lot easier. But let's not only do that, but let's war against the evil. Too many people want the peace of the damned. I don't want to rock the boat. Man, I do. I want to tip the thing over! I do. I want to tip it right over and put a hole in it and sink it! I do. Because I've watched people's lives be destroyed. And this isn't a game to me. This isn't a job to me. This isn't a career for me. Do you understand that? It's a calling of God! It's not a job! I could go make a lot of money if I wanted to. And it sure wouldn't be doing this. But I want to do what God wants me to do. And I'm either going to do it right or I ain't going to do it at all. No matter how many people get upset. No matter how many people get upset. And they get upset. Exactly. You see, when we reprove the works of darkness and bring them to light, we leave no gray areas. We leave none left. I want to be a light or darkness preacher. I want to be this is light and this is dark, and that's the way it is. But you got to know what you're facing out there. I don't mean you got to go study spells and incantations. Don't try to put words in my mouth or try to make, I'm not even talking about that garbage. I've never brought any of that to you. But the point is for you to understand that this stuff is real and people are stuck in sorcery. They are stuck in these cults today. Now they are. Right now. It's real. So how would you help somebody with that? If you don't even know your enemy. And you don't even know your sword. Think about that one for a while. Boy, those old Puritans preached against witchcraft and witches. They explained a lot of things. They revealed a lot of things. You don't got to go into gory details with it. But God in his book warned against sodomy, bestiality, witchcraft, necromancy, communicating with the dead, sons of God, daughters of men, giants, hybrids, all kinds of things. And he actually said, it's going to be just like the days of Noah when I come back. Well, you might want to know what that means. You might want to study that a little bit. You might want to realize that there's this whole satanic agenda going on all around you. I want to ask you a question. Look around this room. Do you ever wonder why there's nobody from Northfield here? I mean homegrown from here, Northfield, instead of transplants. Do you wonder why? Exactly. You want to know why? Because there is a satanic grip on this city. That's why. Yeah. Exactly. You have a college that has a druid group. They have a druid group right here. Do you realize the witches' coves and the other groups that are not only in this area, in this state right around here? Do you realize how many there are? Do you actually believe that they would pray for our ruination? Do you actually believe that they work for these unfruitful works of darkness, that they work and do those? Yeah. So you don't think it's satanic that nobody here is from this town? You don't think that's satanic? You don't find that at all a spiritual matter? But don't talk about those things, preacher. Don't talk about those things. I don't want to dirty my mind up with them. I don't want to see those things. You're seeing them all around you. But just like the prophet asked God to open the eyes of his servant, I pray the same thing for you, that God would open your eyes and you would see the battle that's all around you. Because it's here. And it's real. And if you don't think it's a satanic grip, why do you think the police sit there every time we preach? Could you look in the book of Acts? What happened there? Every time they preach, the authorities came and they called them. Yeah. There's a lot going on there. One lady said to me, that same lady said to me, we've never heard any old preachers preach against Aleister Crowley. Well, that's because they didn't know who he was. And by the way, 150 years ago, they didn't have rock music and bands and everything like they do now. I mean, they had them in jungles and everywhere else, but they didn't have them mainstream. And they certainly didn't have them in churches. But they did have them a long time ago. Because I was reading a book yesterday. They talked about Bachian music. And the drinking and the dancing and the partying. Oh, we see that in when Israel had their rock concert. Bacchus, the god. So it's always been there, but it's just moved into the churches now. But they didn't know who he was. But you know who they did used to preach against? Rome. But they don't preach against him either anymore. That harlot either anymore. They don't even talk about it. They don't even bring anything combative up. Why? Look at me. They're not at war with anyone. Do you understand that? We are sending him out to go to war. Do you understand that? Because that's what it is. It's a war. You're putting a church, by the grace of God, you're putting it on enemy territory. Do you realize that this church should not be here in the human scheme of things, that we shouldn't even be here? Do you realize that? Do you realize that we shouldn't even make it? We shouldn't even have made it, humanly speaking? Do you understand that? This is one of the most conservative, biblical churches in the state. And it's in the most liberal town in Minnesota. That is God defying the devil. Yes, he did. Because it's dark. I got to keep moving. Man, that's a long sermon. I got to keep going. Oh boy. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 12 says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret." He's not saying it is a shame for you to reprove these things, because the next verse he says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. What is he saying? He's saying it's even a shame for them. When you speak of those things, they are shamed when you drag them into the light. Now, it would be a shame for us if we went into gory details and started glorifying something or explaining some of the wickedness that's out there. But it's not saying that it's a shame for you to speak on those things. It's not saying that. Because he tells you, he gives you another contrast. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You're going to have to reprove it. You're going to have to, but it's a shame to even speak of those things. It brings shame. Why? Because it brings shame to their wicked works when you drag them into the light. What do you mean? Well, take for instance, let's say a church member here, God forbid, but let's say they would commit adultery on their wife. They do it in the dark. They do it in hiding. They do it when nobody knows. What happens when you bring that person up and make them answer for their sin in front of the congregation, in front of the assembly? Shame. Where's the boldness? It's gone. Why? The light. When a man has to confess what he's done is wrong and bring it to the light, what does it do? Shames him. And it takes his boldness away. Isn't that true in the courtroom? Have you ever seen those people that'll cover their heads in a courtroom? Let's say they've molested children, or they've beaten, or they've killed people, or they've murdered them, and they come in and they're covered up and nobody sees their face. Why? Because they're shamed. They're brought to the light. And it shames them. That's what the Bible's talking about. So if it's a shame to even speak of those things, how bad is it for them to do them? How much more wicked is it for them to actually do those things? You ever made a man, you ever dealt with a man and had him admit his sin and watch how once it comes out of his mouth, it don't sound so good anymore? Mm-hmm. You and I have done that, haven't we? We've had to look at somebody admit our sin. What happens? Shame. Why? Because you have to bring it to light. You have to admit it and you have to bring it to light. And once you bring it to light and you admit it, it brings shame. That's how that works. And that's what the Bible's talking about there. It's not saying, well, just don't talk about those things. Because you don't want to... Listen, if there's any kid here that believes that they can get away with living wickedly or committing any of these acts of God, no, I personally believe that you are held responsible, and I believe that God's judgment will fall upon you and you will die. I believe that. Because I believe God ends people's lives, especially as children, if they decide to go off and not repent. But with a saved person, there's no love for that. There's a hatred that comes from it. It's a shame because darkness hates being dragged into the light. Men can do evil in the dark, but when the light is shined, it brings shame. When unbelievers keep the doors of their houses shut and withdraw from the view of men, it is a shame even to speak of those bases and wickedness with which they rush into all manner of licentiousness. Would they thus lay aside all shame and give loose reins to their passions if darkness did not give them courage? Darkness gives courage, doesn't it? If they did not entertain the hope of that what is hidden will pass unpunished. But do you, by reproving them, bring forward the light that they may be ashamed of their own baseness? Such shame arising from an acknowledgement of baseness is the first step to repentance. We're to warn against wicked men and their influences and their folly. We're to expose Satanists and witches and their influence. To expose the wickedness of satanic-led rock music is not sinful. It's not a shame to the preacher who does it and warns people. But however, it is a shame for those that will not. Can you go too far with it? Of course you can. That can happen. You can go way too far with it. It's easy to continue in sin when it's not brought into the light. Why do you think so many people in the churches that they go to, they're living in sin right now? Lots of it. But they go every Sunday morning and they put their money in the offering plate and they feel good. Why do they continue in those sins? Because nobody's preaching against them. That's why. Let me ask you a question. Would you that have given up Hollywood and movies and other things like that, would you have given them up if they weren't preached on? I wouldn't have. You don't have to act like you're super spiritual, okay? Just be honest. It's okay. Be honest.
No, I needed it.
Amen.
I needed it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. John 7:7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. John 15:22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. See, that's what it's about. The devil likes to cloak sin. When you take the cloak off and you reveal the mystery, where he's hiding in it. See, the devil is always hiding in every cult, in every false teaching, in every false way, in drugs, in fornication, everything else. There's a hiding there. And then once you uncover the sin, the wickedness, and the hiding, it don't look pretty anymore. Then the ugliness of sin comes out. And the baseness of it. When you remove the cloak, Satan can't hide. You say, what do you mean? Well, contemporary Christian music is a cloak for the devil. It's probably the best one in music. Better than rock music any day. CCM is a better cloak for the devil than anything. It's the best one. Why? Because they hide in under the Christian label. So Satan gets to hide in there. And he's really the god of CCM. What do you mean? Well, the lead singer of Jars of Clay just came out this week and said he's pro-gay marriage. What's wrong with you people? You ought to be for pro-gay marriage. What's wrong with you people? You ought to be for same-sex marriage. You know how many people listen to Jars of Clay? You know how many Christians listen to them? Now, what do you want to... I just got a little... I don't want to say bet because I don't bet, but just think about this for a second. Pretty soon you're going to get some reports out that he's a sodomite. That's how that works, just so you know. That's how that works. He's tipping his hat and he's admitting something. He says he's not ready to come out fully with it yet. So he'll do that for a while. Now that's a huge contemporary Christian music group. Huge. And they're not the only ones. But Satan gets to hide in there. He gets to mask in there. Christian Hollywood films, same thing. Occultic, like the Son of God movie. You want to know why I didn't do a sermon on Noah? Because everybody, that was so blatant. Everybody knew that that movie wasn't even biblical. They knew there was nothing biblical about it. Nothing. I mean, even weak little liberal Christians did videos about it saying, that's a bad movie. Everybody. Right? Where did Satan get to hide? He got a pass from the Son of God movie. In fact, he got 40 of the top preachers in America to back the movie. So that's why I said, well, that's the Antichrist. And I'm going to expose it. Were you harmed by that? Oh, nobody needs to worry about things. Really? Because I seem to remember that they made like $30-40 million and bought out movie theaters and rented all, and they bought all that, and that's occultic. That's not Jesus Christ. That little long-haired looking queer is not Jesus Christ. Okay? Not. And no, he didn't have 13 disciples, and there wasn't some woman running around with him. Okay? That's not Jesus Christ. That's not the Bible. And Jesus didn't force Judas to do those things. None of those things are true. They're all a bunch of lies. And watch the video again if you haven't seen it. Watch the, or listen to the sermon again. And you'll see that all of that was a big lie. That's not Christ. Christ is not some white long-haired hippie walking through Palestine. Okay? Wow. And it was all occultic. So you expose those things. And guess what? 3,000 or 4,000 people watched that on YouTube. Somebody need to hear the truth. Duck Dynasty the same way. 6,000 people. Most of them mad at me. Because I picked on the Duck Dynasty guys. Because they preach baptismal regeneration. That baptism saves you. And people got mad about that. Bunch of long-haired, money-making hippies. Throw a little Jesus in there and you can do whatever you want. Yeah. You just, all you got to do is throw a little bit of Jesus in there and you can get away with whatever you want today. And it passes. And what is that? It's a lie from the devil. And it's not the Jesus of the Bible. And baptismal regeneration comes directly from Rome. That's where it comes from. It comes from the devil. Amen. So what do? Well, we either obey the Bible or we don't. We either uncover, we either bring to light the unfruitful works of darkness and shine the light on them. Hey, let me ask you a question. Some of you got involved in sci-fi and all those other things. And you don't know the God of sci-fi, or you didn't know who it was. I'm going to do something on Star Wars and Star Trek and all that kind of stuff sometime in the future. Because there's so many Christians that are Trekkies. Yeah. And that's another gospel. That's another religion, by the way. Mm-hmm. And people are snared by it. And they don't realize who Gene Roddenberry even was. These people are being entertained by devils. But shut up, preacher. You don't need to reveal those things. Just let people continue in their sin. And we don't want to hurt somebody. We don't want to, you know, your sheep will be hurt if you warn them. You know, they'll be hurt by that. If you explain some of those things to them, they'll be hurt by that. No, I think they've been helped by it. I think they've grown by it. I think God's used it. And to help many others out there that are struggling with it. Because there's a lot. There's a lot of people that'll sit 5 and 6 hours a day and watch TV and movies.
Right.
And waste their life. And what is going into their head? Is it helping them? What's going into their heart? Is it making them better Christians? Is it helping them draw closer to Christ? Or is it stealing their heart? Father, thank you. I pray you'd bless us now. Bless the next hour we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We got 5 minutes, guys, and we gotta get back. Brother Russell, start singing some hymns and leading some hymns there. About 5 minutes.